Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And good afternoon to you, Southern California. Wake up, it's afternoon, Southern California. Hey, we got one person on the line, can you believe that? Well, welcome to the two-hour expanded edition. And we are continuing discussing some very significant basic astrology principles today, which I am sure that you, the attentive listener, enthusiastic student, is desirous to find out. What's the topic, Far? Okay, guy and gal. We're going to talk about planets and houses, the significance of houses, and why planets seem to change their flavor a little bit. For example, I bet you always thought that you were a Gemini or a Virgo, Pisces, sun sign, and you are, you know, for all intents and purposes. To teach people basic astrology, it is absolutely critical that we communicate to a person what their sun sign is. But in advanced astrological concepts, a person becomes or evolves to more than what their house sign is, as far as their sun is. Here's my typical example. My typical example being that even though I was born a Leo and I'm gregarious and enthusiastic and optimistic and all those fun Leo traits, because my sun is in house number 10 at birth, any planet in the 10th house, just to the left of the midheaven, imitates Capricorn energy, because the 10th house is the epitome of Capricorn energy. So even though my sun is in Leo, to understand the true meaning of my soul and my creative process, or what the sun means, you must understand the sign and the house combination. And that is really what today's show is all about. We are going to talk about the significance of the houses. We're going to try to define them for you, and show you where to find them, and help you number them. And of course, if you have a chart, then you are truly blessed, because you'll be able to follow this exciting topic. So we're really getting into teaching people astrology around here. A lot of people listen to the show and go, Farley, what are you going to do an astrology topic around here? Well, here they are. Let's take a look, first of all, at a couple of friendly items that I think are very, very important for us to zero in on. First of all, let's get your astroscope up on the table. If you don't carry your astroscope around with you, I am really sorry, because this is the topic that you do definitely want to have that astroscope handy to understand what we're talking about. So, step number one, get your astroscope up on the table. And let's take a look at it. You're looking at a pie. You are looking at a pie. I want you to be aware of the far left edge of that pie, of the circle. Right in the middle of the circle, go to the far left, dead center circle, go all the way to the left, you'll see a line of asterisks, you'll see a couple of numbers above a couple of letters, above a couple more numbers, and that is your ascendant. That is located where the 9 would be on the clock face. So you might as well take a pen and write down ascendant, rising, and circle it. And if you haven't filled it in yet, mine says 20LI17, so that means I am Libra rising. LI down at the bottom, the abbreviations say LI, so Libra rising. Now, that, first of all, tells us what sign, what stellar constellation was rising in the east at birth. So that is critical to know. You can't get a chart without your rising, and you can't get the rising without time of birth. So don't call me and say, how important is the time of birth, Farley? It's critical. So then, now that you know what your rising sign is, which is the most important part of your chart, because that starts your 12 houses, you want to notice that you have 12 pieces of pie in that pie that you're looking at. Now, starting with the rising sign, and going counterclockwise, you can number those 12 houses. Very simply, everybody has 12 houses. They always start at the rising sign, and everybody has a different 12th house influence in their lives. So in order to analyze this influence, take a pen or a pencil and start numbering the bottom 6 slices from left to right, 1, 2, 3 in the first quarter, and then 4, 5, 6 in the next quarter, and then above the midpoint, you've numbered the lower half of the pie now. Let's number the upper half, starting in the far right, where the 3 would be in the clock face, just above it. We number 7, 8, 9 in the next quarter, and then 10, 11, 12. Now, these are your 12 houses of life. And depending on what sign that you have on your ascendant, and also what concurrent signs you have on each house cusp. Well, let me know and any other astrologer and also you as the student how you view life. For example, all Libra risings, in my opinion, because we teach equal house astrology here at KFOX, all Libra risings view life through the similar eyeglasses. In other words, each different rising sign is like another family. So that's why I see all Sag risings in the same grouping and all Pisces risings get over there in the corner and all Virgo risings in the same grouping. When I meet someone with a particular rising sign, I can designate them the difference, comparatively speaking, like Russians, Frenchmen, British. You know, it's like the British are the Virgo risings and the Americans are the Sag risings and the Europeans are the Virgo. The rising sign is important. I'll tell you why. Because Libra rising will have Libra on the first house, and the next sign following Libra, Scorpio, would be the cusp sign on the second house. And then the sign following Scorpio, which is Sag, would be in the third house. And that's why it's important to know your signs in order. See, I keep telling you, memorize the signs in order. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. So you can start at any one sign and follow all the way through the 12 to know which sign is on which house cusp. That might be a little confusing for some of you beginners, but some people back there went, wow, Farley, I just got that one. So anyway, when you have labeled your chart and you now know where your 12 houses are, the question is, okay, Farley, now we've done this, what does this mean? Well, each house always holds the same significance, which means that the first house is always the first house as far as it meaning certain things. And the second house always mean the same thing. It depends on what sign is on the cusp, combining with what that house means, also considering what planets may be in that house when you were born, and then also what aspects are to those planets for us as astrological students and scholars to try to understand a person's uniqueness and individuality. Let's take a look what this means. I am a Libra rising, and the first house means appearance, personality, self, and childhood. So that means that I relate to all Libra risings and that my appearance is basically balanced. I am communicative and talkative like most Libra risings are. I'm always into balance and stability, and I'm relationship-oriented up front, as most Libra risings are. Let's say if I was a Virgo rising, because Virgo would be on the first house cusp, then my appearance might be more neat and tidy and clean. I might be more into fashion or more into detail when I dress. And my personality may be more precise. I might, when I speak my words, I might be more grammatically correct being a Virgo rising. See? Like these people are into exactness. So you always take the sign on the rising to understand what the first house energy means. I'm going to go through and give you the meanings of all 12 houses, which you should know by now if you got the astroscope and study the guide, how horoscopes work. But in case you didn't, let's go over what the meanings of the 12 houses are. And that way, when we talk about planet house correlations today, you'll understand what we're talking about. See, we already talked about definitions of planets Friday, and tomorrow at 3 o'clock we'll go over that again. So if you haven't heard that show, that is a critical show to understand this topic. Astrology is a science of correlations. What we try to do is master basic meanings, understanding what planets mean, what houses mean, and what all the signs mean. Then you put it all together and it reveals individual destiny and karma and vibration, electricity. The first house is the epitome of the Aryan force. The first house always represents Aries energy, which is high energy. It is fast, it is powerful, it is intense, it is aggressive. And any planets in the first house will imitate Aries energy. Example, I have a Scorpio moon, which is normally introvert, reserved, mysterious, mystical, and sometimes in the background, and usually subtly and mystically passionate. But because my moon is in the first house, here's the combination now. It's a combination of a Scorpio effect, because that's the sign the moon is in, and the Aries vibration because it lives in the first house. That's why my emotions can be identified as an Aries Scorpio vibration, which can be hot, aggressive, passionate, upfront. You take the mystery of Scorpio and you bomb blast that with the Aries enthusiasm and you end up with a wild emotional realm of swings. And that's why I am what I am. If that Scorpio moon were in the third house, then instead of being so outwardly emotionally aggressive, that Scorpio emotion would be channeled by the Gemini force in the third house, which would be more of a nervous, talkative vibration. So I might talk a lot more about sex and love and weird occult things, bizarre things, the Scorpio-Gemini combination. So it is important for us to understand the vibration behind each house so we can compare the signs our planets are in with the houses our planets are in to truly get an identification vibration for each planet. I hope that's clear. Let's continue. The second house vibration is the vibration of Taurus. See, they're in order. Isn't that fun? The second house, the vibration of the second house, controls money, values, love, and stability, nurturing, groundedness. And even though I have Jupiter in the sign of Sagittarius, guess what? It lives in the second house. So my Jupiter has a Taurus Sagittarian vibration. So I am extremely Sagittarian, which is philosophical, about what? Second house matters, Taurus matters, money, values, love, and hence part what the show is partially all about. Money, balance, love, and Taurus ideals. So the first house is the Aryan vibration, which rules the self, and the second house is the Taurus vibration. So any planets you might have in the second house, no matter what sign they're in, will have a Taurus imitation vibration attached to it. Third house energies, any planets in those houses will have a Gemini vibration. Now, isn't this interesting? Because you could have Mars in Pisces, which is normally a very introvert placing, a very refined and a very spiritual, intuitive placing. But then that Mars in Pisces, let's say you're a Capricorn rising, right? And you have Mars in Pisces in the third house, and you're a woman, a heterosexual woman, the type of men you would like would be intuitive and psychic, because the third house is a Gemini vibration. It's intuitive communication. It's like telepathy. Telepathic communication, so that's the kind of men they would like, almost wizard types. See how it works? I mean, astrology is so fascinating. When you get down to mastering, and actually, when you first are introduced to this correlation theory, it's wonderful, because then you have something to go on to try to figure out what it all means. Like I say, if you sit down and master what the planets mean, master what all the sign vibrations mean, then master what all the house vibration means, then get down your aspects, you got it. That's what astrology is about. Planets and signs, planets and houses, planets by aspect, and the combination of the three. Now we're going to continue with the other eight vibrations and continue this house-planet correlation topic today. And I know a lot of you are very excited about this. God bless those of you that sent away for your charts and that have been studying and are somewhat prepared for this advanced topic. I always tell people, please record the Astrology Hour, because you may hear a topic that will go over your head today, but in a later date you'll play it and you'll go, oh yeah, now I got you, Farley, yeah. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon to you. Welcome to the two-hour expanded edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. My name, in case you're wondering, is Farley Malaris. If you can spell it, you have a sound IQ. First time, that is. If you can spell it, I love you anyway. We're here weekdays at 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and Tuesdays from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. The station, of course, KFOX, KFOX 93.5 FM, Redondo Beach. If you need to pick up your signal any, just pick up a Radio Shack directional FM antenna. No matter where you live, that should boost the signal and bring us in a lot clearer. So let's see if we've got the logic of today's topic down. No matter what sign your planet is in, it is also very important to find out what house your planet's in. If you don't know what house your planet's in, then check your astroscope body report. It's not a report on your body, of course. It's a report on what houses your planets are in. Because in the body of your report, in mine that is, I can find that my moon is in my first, and that my sun is in my 10th house. It says right there in the report, Mercury in house 10, Venus in house 9, Mars in house 12, Jupiter in house 2. So you can find out what houses your planets are in to help you understand more with your uniqueness. Now the fourth house, we talked about the third house and the Gemini vibration. The fourth house has a Cancerian vibration to it, which means no matter what sign your planet's in, if it's in the fourth house, there's going to be a puppy doggish, nurturing, romantic, sensitive, intuitive flair added to that planet's properties, because it's in the fourth house. And a lot of couch potatoes have fourth house planets, by the way. Not that they like to watch TV, but they like to hang around their homes, their castles and such. Security is an important issue. Let's say you might have Saturn in Virgo, right? So major karma in life will be a Virgo karma that may have to do with your health or your work or your service ethic or work ethic. And if that Saturn falls into the fourth house, we add the Cancerian vibration to it. So major lesson, major karma in life may have to do with work and the home, our work and trying to keep security, our residence. See? So it's the combinations, it's the correlations that reveal astrological intelligence and awareness. So the fifth house is fun. Isn't it funny that my daddy has his moon and his Jupiter, I think, in the fifth? Even though they're in Pisces, there's a tremendous Leo 9 characteristic about Fred Malaris,
He's very extrovert, enthusiastic. He's a funny guy. He's a leader. He's a strong leader. And, of course, the fifth house vibration is the Leo 9 vibration. So you may have no Leo planets like my dad, but you'll have planets in the fifth house that will imitate or contain Leo vibration because that's the vibration that's in that fifth house. See, like, I really consider the master students of astrology are students that have their house vibrations down because you really, we're talking really plug into your karma and to your destiny and to your self-realization and awareness by understanding your house significances. It's wonderful. It is just wonderful. So people with fifth house planets will have attached to those planets a vibration concerning Leo 9 activity, like family, like children, like drama, creativity, leadership, authority, and need to express themselves. See how it works? This is great. And you know what? It actually took me several years to get the basic points down to this topic. Because for so many years, I was like a guy that was underwater submerged, and I really didn't get astrology like I needed to until I finally figured out, wow, I'm like a Capricorn because I have Sun in the 10th house. You know, it's like you get hit with this revelation. It's like a bolt of lightning. Now, you wonder why people that have 6th house planets, planets in the 6th house, if you've numbered your houses like I told you to, you know where the 6th house is. It's where between where the 4 and the 3 would be in the clock face on your chart. I was raised by two parents that had Mars in the 6th house. We are talking workaholics. We are talking health-conscious fanatics. We are talking critical, analytical people. Very neat, very tidy. Guaranteed to take a shower once or twice a day. See, because even though they have no Virgo in their chart, because they have the life force energy, Mars, which is a very important planet, in that 6th house, it imitates the Virgo force. That's why every time I've met someone with Mars in the 6th, I understand why they're so ethical, why they're so tidy, why work is so important, and why they always go to the doctor once or twice a year for sure, guaranteed. And that's why all planets in that 6th house will imitate the Virgo vibration. You find lots of policemen and detectives and surgeons and mechanics have planets like Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter in that 6th house of Virgo vibration. Isn't this fun? I mean, you just find out so much more about astrology when you listen to topics like this. Then we get above the horizon, right, the upper half of the wheel. The lower half of the wheel, the lower 6 houses, are houses that deal with the self. So we do find that people that flood those houses with planets, most of their charts, are into self-realization, self-growth, and a lot of times can hermitize themselves because they're frightened of dealing with certain aspects of the world. But then there's people like me that have planets above the horizon, right? I have 5 or 6 planets above the horizon, and the upper half of the chart is the world. Okay, this is karma with the world. The 7th house, which is located between the 3 and the 2 on the clock face, looking at your chart, is a house that imitates Libran vibration. Got it? So if you have planets in the 7th house, that's why you're so partnership-oriented. That's why you're so relationship-oriented. That's why you have marriage karma, perhaps. That's why you're such a loving person into stability and balance and people, because you have planets in the 7th. Then if we continue, planets in the 8th house imitate what's next. The sign following Libra is Scorpio. Right. So now we know why these people are so intense and so passionate. A very close friend of mine, Mary, of course, has her Sun and her Mars in Taurus in the 8th house, which I keep calling her a Scorpio. She wears black all the time. She has everything in black. You know, she's very quiet, very introvert, very reserved. Even though she's a Taurus Sun sign, she epitomizes Scorpio because her Sun is in the 8th house. Sorry, Mary, but I wanted to use you as an example. But it is wonderfully fascinating to figure out people, what planets and houses, especially Sun sign and Moon sign, and what houses they are, to really get into their persona and to really get into their identity. And also, 8th house planets will epitomize people with bizarre interests, sometimes interest in the occult, intuitive sense, sex, passion, caring for the planet is also fueled by that vibration. And then we move on to the 9th house, right? And this is the fun house, right? Because planets in the 9th house, I have 2 planets, Venus in Cancer and Uranus in Gemini, both conjunct. And the 9th house epitomizes the Sagittarius vibration. So see, not only do I have a planet in Sag, Jupiter, but I also have 2 planets in the 9th house, Venus and Uranus, hence my continued attempt to retain a cockeyed optimistic attitude with life. Even though I can fall down sometimes, I try. And obviously people with 9th house planets will be more travel-oriented, just like Sagittarius. They'll be more optimistic, more freedom-loving, more independent, more need for space. You ever hear people say, I need some space, and they're void of Sag, but they have 9th house planets. That's why. People that could be into religion, people that could be into dealing with foreigners, karma with foreigners, karma while traveling, that's the 9th house vibration. And then we get over to the 10th house, just to the left of the midheaven, which is located where the 12 would be on the clock face into the 10th house. And now we know why these people call me up and they say, Farley, I want to know about my career. Ah, you know, give me a break on that question, right? But I understand that there's no other problems in your life than career. But these are people that are fanatical and obsessed with career and success. Like me, hey, I admit it, if I called a talk show, I'd probably ask the same stupid question. Farley, tell me about my career. Okay, you're going to be a dog catcher, kid. I have Sun, Mercury, and Pluto, three planets in the 10th, which even though they're in Leo, they also adhere to a Capricorn vibration, hence my sensitive skin, because Capricorn rules the skin, and hence my sensitive knees, because Capricorn rules the knees, and hence my ambition and my drive for success. So it's important to know what these house meanings are. Then we move over to the 11th house, right, that's between the 11 and the 10 on the clock face, and planets in this house would epitomize, what's the next sign? You got it, the Aquarian vibration. See, it never changes. The houses always mean the same thing. It depends what planets are in that house and what sign is on the cusp to really understand the clear vibration of what that planet means. Astrology is a science of combinations and correlations. So people with 11th house planets will have an ingenious, intellectual, technological, humanitarian addendum to their natures. Very friendly and goal-oriented people. And people that are into diversity and change and variety and the world and could be accident prone too. And then finally, the 12th house, I have two planets there. I have Saturn in the 11th. I have Mars and Neptune in the 12th. They imitate the final sign, which you know is, that's right, it's Pisces. And that's why I am such an intuitive, spiritual, psychic person. Because if I wasn't, I might be a bum, a skid row bum. Because that's the choice you have sometimes when you have Pisces planets or planets in the 12th, either self-destruct or spiritual. And Mars and Neptune conjunct in the 12th is a very intuitive placing, as any of you that have 12th house planets now know why you probably are confronted with that choice, which is either serve or suffer, spiritual or self-destruct. And Pisces planets or 12th house planets, which are basically the same thing, what they basically give you is a choice to absolve all karma, to rise up and be a spiritual sage or herald, and also to absolve karma, help the world. It's like a karma with the world. In order to get out of this dimension, you have to plug into the oneness of God that all people share and lead them to the light of truth concerning these issues. Wasn't that a great topic? Planetary correlations, house sign combinations, and significances. I hope you understood and liked that.